Okay, so
Wait,
then
run
say,
with it.
so wait, what was your, you said.
I answered the question and I said, oh, for sure, because they're closer to a situation than the Kings are. Wait, no, wait.
Okay. Well, hey,
ABC 7, Sarah?
You still.
Wait,
okay.
Remember your roots. Remember where you're at here.
They would send us to cover 49ers. It would send us to, as soon as the Kings are out of the playoffs, the season's over, we're at Golden State at Chase Center covering, you know, their run.
Remember,
so what do you want
roots
from me? We bring you
remember
guys.
Your roots. You're wearing a San Francisco Giants hat.
I've been a Giants fan since the day I was
Thank you,
born.
Tristy.
What are we talking about? I've been a Giants fan since the day I was born. Remember your roots.
And you're a 49ers fan. What are you even saying?
ESPN 1320 here in Sacramento. We don't care about the Valkyries out here.
But you care about the 49ers. And
absolutely.
You care about the Giants.
Absolutely.
Okay. You're, it's
care
confusing.
About the Aces? Anyway.
Yeah, care about the Aces. Hell yeah. And if you guys really want to get into the minutia, now this isn't their fault. This isn't their fault.
The minutia
fault.
Is crazy.
But if you really want to get into the minutia, why we ain't really rocking with the Valkyries? Because they essentially stole the opportunity of the Monarchs ever coming back.
Well,
and here in Sacramento, that means
if you can't
a lot.
Beat him, join him.
I don't think
no,
that's
we're not.
You can't beat him, join him.
We're not now the Valkyries and Lake Up.
Okay, so
do,
you don't support the Valkyries?
No, I mean I want them to do well. I know people that work for the Valkyries, and that's cool. But I ain't.
So you're
like,
not going
no,
to a game?
I'm gonna go to a game.
If they're in the playoffs, you're not gonna root for them?
No.
Oh, please.
I'm never gonna root for
I
them.
I don't believe that.
I promise you right now, I'm never gonna root for them. I feel like you're a sports fan. I have no interest in rooting for the Valkyries. Now, do I want to see them succeed because, you know, they're a new franchise, WNBA, the Bay Area? Yeah, I want to see them like make money, great attendance. Heard the games are great and all this other stuff. But once again, I want to reiterate because we're on ESPN 1320 here in Sacramento, California. The Valkyries being in the WNBA eliminated pretty much any chance of the Monarchs ever coming back here. And that is not okay.
Okay. Well,
that's not okay.
That's not their fault.
I'm not saying it is. Absolutely not. I'm not saying it. It's not even Joe Lacob's fault. I'm not saying it is.
Yeah.
But you got to understand the situation. We love the Monarchs.
Yeah.
We've been wanting the Monarchs back here.
I get it.
Forever.
I would want that too.
Stolen.
That's not the question.
They were ripped away. So
or
any
the statement, rather.
So anything that impedes that, yeah, I'm not going to.
You're
not,
hating
I'm
on?
I'm not embracing that. Not wanting to like see them win games. I don't want to see the organization fail. But I'm not a Valkyries fan.
I think
Aces.
You just need to get on the phone with Vivek and just get out your frustrations.
I think it's out of his hands at this point. I don't think they're coming back here.
Okay, ready for the second one? That one was pretty lit. Okay. Christian McCaffrey will stay healthy for all 17 games this season. Oh for show or ain't no way.
I'll be
I'm gonna say ain't no way. And I don't think he's gonna miss like obviously you never hope for injury or anything. I
know. Sorry. I kinda set you up with this question, but
no, I think he misses a game or two, but it's nothing serious. It's like soreness or like, you know, whatever.
There
like
you go.
I don't think it's gonna be like a long injury because I think he's hungry and eager to bounce back after last season. Mm-hmm. And he has that girl dad power magic, right? Like
go.
Entering the season. So fingers crossed he doesn't, and I'm wrong, but I think he has like a one off or two off maybe.
I agree with Tristy. I'll say ain't no way, but I don't think it's like he did something really bad and he's out for some time. It might be a little, you know, a little knee bruise or something like this, or keep him out for a game or two. Mm. But NFL season a long time.
I know.
Be like,
and the way that they're gonna use him,
I think they're going to fall back on that a little bit this
year. Let's hope because
I think they're going to fall back a little bit. I know in the past
they're going to need him in the red zone, that's for sure.
Yeah, in the past it had always been they really let Christian McCaffrey kind of dictate how much he played.
Mm-hmm.
Like Christian was like, I want to be out there for every down, and they're like, all right, Christian, like we trust you. It worked, you know, one of the years where he damn near got him to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But that took a lot of toll on his body and on the mm-hmm. team. And I think this year Kyle Shanahan is going to have more of a mentality of, hey, I think it's been said before, we're going to protect Christian from himself.
Mm.
I know he
yeah.
wants to be out there every down.
Yeah.
But we're going to say, hey, big dog.
We have to put.
We're going
to
bring in
also,
Moreno or something like that every now and then to get you a little rest.
Rest.
their O-line looks a little different than it did that Super Bowl year, right? So it's like you don't want to put him in that position to potentially get injured. But yeah.
For sure. And I think if he's just like the hardest worker in the building, you know, and he's constantly like working on his body. And so I think if anybody were to be able to be healthy, and you would hope that it's Christian just because of like what he puts into, like, you know, getting ready for the season and just staying healthy. And, you know, he's very much like hard on himself and all he does, what he eats and how he prepares and all of that. You would hope that like maybe that would help out, but we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. What we got next?
All right.
See, that was a lot better, right? That was a little, that was a lot less contentious.
Yeah, I guess the Kings maybe hurt some people's feelings, but I mean, we should be able to laugh about this, right? About like, if, like, I know my team is trash a lot and it's okay. Like, it's not me.
See,
I'm not the one out there. I would be probably take a little bit more personal if I was a player, but
I should take it more personal. That's the problem. Some of them don't take it personal.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, what are you going to do? All right, ready.
Okay.
Three. Buster Posey will land another starting pitcher before the trade deadline to pull the team into the playoffs. Oh, for show, ain't no way.
Ain't no.
Tristy, I already know what you're going to say. Anything Giants related, I was going to have fun with it, but I just feel like.
Okay, let me let Kenny answer first, even though I just answered, but like.
You could do your explanation after. Kenny, go.
Yeah, I'm going to say ain't no way, because I don't know if that's going to be their focus. I think they're going to try and get another bat, maybe another bullpen arm. It should be their focus. I think they definitely do need another starter, but I don't know if he's going to be able to get that one done.
What is it, the 29th that we – oh, is it tomorrow? Thursday?
Is it Tuesday or Thursday? I thought it was Thursday, but it could be tomorrow.
Could be 29th. Tomorrow. I think it's the 29th from what I remember.
I think it's the 31st.
Might be the – is it
that's why I think
29th, Tristy? Or Thursday?
I think it's Thursday. 31st. It's usually August 1st is when the new rosters go. So I'm going to go ain't no way, though.
Ain't no way.
Not for a starting pitcher. I think he will try to be aggressive and try to add to this roster.
Yeah.
And try and the division, because they haven't been able to take care of business and take advantage of the Dodgers not playing as well right now. Yeah. They lost their opportunity with that. But they're still there for that wild card. I think Buster's going to make a move to try and help them get to that wild card.
The
spot.
Pitching hasn't been their weak spot by any means, but
they need another starter.
They're going to need it. They're going to need it. And especially if you're really trying to make a playoff run, we all saw like with the Dodgers, like what, you know, having, you know, a plethora of pitchers does for you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I feel like their pitching was like led them to so many wins for the start of the season, right? But then as of late, it seems like the rotation kind of took a hit. Like Hayden Birdsong's been struggling. Mm-hmm. He was set down. Logan Webb has been struggling a little bit. So it definitely is a point of like emphasis, but I don't know. Bob Melvin literally yesterday or the day before said, like, I think we're good with what we have. So
you need depth and you need depth when it comes to your bullpen. And I think that's just what it is in today's world of the MLB.
One of the things that they're going to try, and another reason why I said, I just remember this, why I said ain't no way, is because I don't think they're going to look to the trade market for that starter. They've got, I think is it today or tomorrow? It might be today. My bad for forgetting. But their number one pitching prospect, Chase Wisenhunt, is getting called up. Mm-hmm. And he's going to start, and I think they're like going to look there to try to bolster that starting rotation before they go look
on the trade market. They need to dump Verlander, the chatty hot. I mean, it sucks, right? Although Verlander, like, I interviewed him, and I feel like he was, like, it was the game that he played on 4th of July here. Yeah. And, like, I was so excited. Yeah, I was so excited to, like, that be my storyline. Because I don't know how many of you guys know this, but it was he debuted in the MLB 20 years to the day on 4th of July. So it was his anniversary, his 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And so I was so excited to like run with that storyline, but I had asked him like after the game, like, cause I'm, you know, you try to be like, Tristan knows, you try to be like lighthearted and like find like the best way to like get a good answer out of these, you know, players who, you know, frankly played like crap.
Right.
And so, you know, you try to like make it more like humanize it a little bit more so you get something good out of them. And I was like, you know, I know, you know, today's outcome wasn't exactly what you wanted, but, you know, think about 20 years ago when you made your MLB debut, you know, what do you think about when you think about that day? What comes to mind? And he's like, much better than I am now. That's for sure. Just like brushes me off. Just like, I asked him about like fan energy. I was like trying to like, and he's like, I don't know. We lost and I sucked. So like, what do I care about that? I was like, he hates me. Like, yeah. I'm just going to exit now. Yeah. I tried.
Yeah, JV, he got that win in Atlanta. I think he's pitched since then. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe he's pitching tonight or tomorrow. But he finally got,
the monkey off his back.
He finally
for
got
sure.
that one win, yeah. And maybe that'll catapult him for the rest of the season.
We'll see.
He's married to Upton. He'll be good.
There we go. Okay. Y'all ready?
All right. You got another one? We good?
Yeah. I have five, but okay. I also had
we
a
got
bonus
about 3 minutes. So
okay. This one's good. Okay.
Okay.
WNBA refs are more inconsistent than Tristy's dating life.
Oh.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Yeah. I can't answer that. I don't know nothing about that. This is a Tristy exclusive. Tristy, go ahead.
Wait, Kenny, I feel like you do know a little bit.
No, I do. No, I do know.
There's stories I've told you.
You got him on your close friends. Add him.
No, we just had conversations about what was going on. It was crazy one of them nights. I was like, damn, for real?
That's like every weekend of my life. So what was the question again?
WNBA refs are more inconsistent than Tristy. Tristy, your dating life. How about I answer this?
I'm not answering.
Tristy, you want to go first?
I mean, okay, I don't know how to answer it, but I'm just going to say my dating life is more inconsistent. I don't know.
So, I have to say, oh, for show. Actually, I don't know. The WNBA's refs are pretty inconsistent, so this is really tough. Really tough.
Really think about it.
Tristy, I'm saying oh for show.
Sarah, last time you were here, you had a great idea about the golf and the interview and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
We should have, if she's okay with it, we should have a dating show for Tristy.
We should.
I think that would
be fantastic. Speed dating, where we sit here and like bring them in. Like to studio?
I don't know. Maybe a destination. I don't know if we're getting all these guys in this studio, but maybe a destination somewhere. Maybe at Sky River.
And we film mic them up.
Lazy films it and everything. I think we should have a
Can we please do this?
I'm down.
Tristy, I'll be there.
Let's make it out. Hey, let's make some calls right now.
Tristy, okay, I will be there every step of the way with you, okay? You will not be alone.
My problem is I just like get the ick quickly with men.
Lose interest easy, huh?
No.
And you know, this is my baby, so I'm going to be very much like, are you good enough?
Okay.
Because, you know, there's not many out there.
The interrogation table is Sarah. Sarah's going to be at the interrogation table. Mm-hmm. No doubt. We got 2 seconds real quick. Give me the last one.
Okay. This young 49ers defense will be better than last year's veteran defense by midseason. Oh, for show, ain't no way.
One word answer, Tristy. I'm saying oh, for show.
Oh, for show.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Robert.
They're horrible.
Robert. Oh, Robert sure. will be the difference maker.
Ladies.
I love you guys. That was
Thank
fun.
You guys so much, man. Sarah Hodges, ABC 7 in the Bay Area. My girl Tristy Rodriguez. I appreciate it. We're going to do it again. We're going to get Tristy in studio next time.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's going to
be
better
before. With the time management and planning.
Well, you're the only one in this situation, but I do apologize.
We call her spicy tea.
That was my fault. That was my bad. I got you next time. I don't know if it's going to be before or after the speed dating show that we have with Tristy, but either way, we're going to get her in studio, man. So I appreciate you guys for tapping in with me and hanging with me for a little bit.
Of course.
No doubt.
Thanks for having us.
We got more on the way. We're going to hear from my guy, Guru. He's going to pull up on the show as well. It's D'Lo and KC at ESPN 1320. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Back here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. Big shout out to my girl, Sarah Hodges. Big shout out to my girl, Tristy Rodriguez, man. I had a good time with them. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun talking to them, man, and getting different POVs about what's going on. Tristy also dropped the nugget that she had talked to some people close to the Westbrook situation and said it's about the same as it was earlier. There is interest. But they know there's a lot of stuff that has to be taken care of before anything like that happens. So I know it's been a big hot topic in the last 48 hours or so, but it is something that has kind of been the same since everything got started in free agency. So that was good insight from her. Good stuff. We got my man Daryl, the Guru Johnson from 95.7 The Game. He's going to bowl up on us in about 10 minutes or so, and we're just going to talk. We have a good time. I always have a good time talking with Guru, man. Love his energy. Love how his outlook on life in general, man. So we'll talk some Giants. We'll talk some football with the 49ers. We'll talk a little Kuminga and the Warriors situation. Ask him about his Cowboys, Jerry Jones, all that other stuff. So we'll get into that. Two things that I wanted to talk about. One, I wanted to rehash. One that I hadn't talked about. Prayers up and just thank God is Deion Sanders held a press conference earlier today that honestly it had a lot of people scared last night because he had put out a clip it, a snippet of a video that he had kind of backstage and talking about. It was from May 9th, I think it was when the video was. And he talked about how, you know, he was having a tough time because he had to write a will the night before. And that clip came out last night. It was accompanied by the fact that he was going to have a press conference this morning to talk about his status as Colorado Buffalo head coach. And a lot of people were expecting the worst. And it was good news, but there were some things that were revealed. They found a cancerous tumor in his bladder earlier in the year, and he had the cancer removed and his bladder removed. I had to make sure I heard that the correct way a couple of different times. Cause I was like, is that even possible? Can you do that? I had never heard of that. But, yeah, he had his bladder removed, and he is cancer-free now. And he had been away from the team more than usual, and not a lot of people knew what was going on. And he said he got that taken care of. He's feeling good. He's back at it. And he will be here for the start of the season, and he will be coaching. But I was thinking the worst, you know, all night after I heard that, after that first initial video that I heard. And obviously it was a serious situation, but luckily he was able to catch it early and get it taken care of. And now he'll be here, man. So shout out to Coach Prime. He's still, you know, it's still something that you got to deal with and monitor all the time, but he'll be there to coach. So I was definitely glad to see that, and salute to him, because I was prepared for him to say he's going to have to step away from Colorado. And I think Deion Sanders in the Coach Prime situation is absolutely great for sports. Great for sports in general. When he came through to Colorado, that energy, that story was unlike anyone that we had seen maybe in the last decade. That was a phenomenon, what we saw from Coach Prime going to Colorado. A lot of it also had to do with his son being there, Shador being the quarterback, and also how vocal Deion was about how good Travis Hunter was. So I'll be interested to see if it continues now that those guys are gone, because that was all part of the story. That was all part of why you watched Colorado, or why you rooted against Colorado, or why you rooted for Colorado, is that whole dynamic. And the fact that those two guys aren't there anymore, I wonder if that takes a little bit of luster off of Coach Prime and Colorado and all this other stuff. But make no bones about it, that first year of Coach Prime and the way they came, I think they started off 4-0, 5-0, I think it was. They had they won, obviously, their first game against TCU in TCU. TCU was like a top 20 team in the nation. That was an epic win for them. They ended up beating up on Nebraska afterwards. They had another win or two that had people hyped up, and then they went to Oregon and just got destroyed. And that started off on their downturn as a team that year. But then for them to bounce back last year and be in contention for a Big 12 title, not getting it, end up losing big in Alamo Bowl, it was something that, once again, had people captivated, whether you were rooting for him or against him. I think, like I said, Shador and Travis had a lot to do with that as well, and we'll see if the same dynamics are in place without those two. But Coach Prime and that story in Colorado, he's box office. He's absolutely box office. I'm glad he's going to continue to be on the sidelines, and more importantly, I'm glad that he's healthy and they were able to take care of that. So I wanted to touch on that. Then also, Jesse, you were on the show. I didn't really get a chance to talk to you about it. And I don't know if it's even a story, but did you have any thoughts on my thoughts about the Bryce Harper, Rob Manfred situation?
I'm all for telling bosses to shut the hell up if they need to be told.
That's
fair. Like, Rob Manfred, don't come in here. Like, also too, like, don't come in here. Hey guys, what's up? Let's talk about the economic. Like, we know why you're here, bro. Like, cut to the chase.
That's.
And if you're gonna come talk to me about some nonsense, they're gonna talk about some nonsense. Then yeah, go ahead, and get out of here. Like, yeah. I get you have superiors and stuff like that, but Bryce Harper makes a little bit more money. We has leverage.
Bryce Harper does. Does Nicholas Kurtz make that kind of money to be like, we gonna sit out the whole year?
They're gonna try and get over on you, whether Bryce was nice about it or not.
So for those who don't know, there's a story from Jeff Passan of ESPN that Rob Manfred was in the Phillies locker room, I want to say over the weekend, and he never talked specifically about salary cap, but he was talking to Bryce Harper, and the way the story says it is Bryce Harper stood up, he went nose to nose with Rob Manfred, and told him, if you're here to talk about a salary cap, get the F out of my clubhouse. And I'm like you. I like that. There is a big part of me that likes that. I liked Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon. You know, an everyday guy going up against the establishment, you know, fighting for the little guy, the voiceless guy. I like that. So don't get it twisted. I like Bryce Harper standing up. But at the same time, and this is what I'm not corporate Kenny right here or nothing like that. But at the same time, I can put myself in the shoes of Rob Manfred. Hey, bro, who you think you're talking to like that? Like, if you disagree with what I'm coming here to talk to you about, or how I presented it, or even what's on the horizon. I get that.
Is it disrespectful, though, for Rob Manfred to walk in there after a game or whatever it was, walk into their clubhouse and talk to them about some BS that, I mean, we all kind of know, like, let's keep it real, the salary cap is just to help these owners and all that? Like, you're coming in with nonsense. Like, this isn't a meeting or anything like
it's
that.
It's how you look at it. It's how you look at it. He could be coming there saying, like, look, I want to talk to you face-to-face about some things that are possibly on the horizon. You know, I'm not, if he's not coming like Mr. McMahon would in, you know, into the ring, he'd be like, hey, I want to talk to you. I want to see if, like, we can figure this out and have a good rapport even before we get to the negotiation table. Like, I want to do that. I'm not saying that's how he was doing. I just don't know. But whether it's disrespectful or not, who the hell do you think you're talking to like that? Like, who? Seriously, who do you think you're talking to?
I don't know. Rob Manfred's a 66-year-old lawyer. He's not going to flex on nobody.
Once again, this is what I told him. It ain't about, if I'm Rob Manfred, I can't beat up Bryce Harper.
He's not going
to
scare. Like,
I'm not going to fight him. But what did you just say to me? Yeah. Guess what I'm about to implement into this league. And like I said earlier, Zach Wilson or Zach Wheeler, get your boy. Because guess what I'm about to implement? You want to talk tough? Like, guess what I'm about to have for this league?
And if I'm Bryce Harper, yeah, Rob, I could have talked to you nicely and you would have did the same thing.
You don't know that.
Come on, bro. We know they're not trying to work. Like, the owners are going to try and, the MLB owners are going to try and get their every last bit with the salary cap and all that. Like, they're not, these guys aren't trying to work for anyone but themselves.
Oh, they're going to get there. They're going to try and get there. But at the same time,
Bryce to me is just cutting the middle, man. You just keep getting straight to the point, cutting the BS with it, I guess.
I'll tell you right now. And this, once again, there will be time when, you know, maybe my emotions would subside and I'd be like, nah, we ain't going to do that. I'm going to do good business. I'm going to do good faith business because I'm getting a salary cap either way. Like that. You're right about that. This is almost non-negotiable. Like, you guys can kick and scream all you want about it. The salary cap is going to happen because we're in control of this thing. But the salary cap was just going to happen. Now I might bury your ass. Once again, Zach, Nick, Kyle Schwarber, come get your mans. Because I'm 2 seconds away from burying all of y'all.
It's what all these leagues do, though. Like I guess my thing is, like, the NFL, they signed their CBA. Now they're going to play an 18th game at some point, and the owners are going to get over on them any way they can. And the NBA, that CBA is just completely restricted. Some guys get their money, it seems, and, like, we saw what it did this summer. Mm-hmm. If I'm Bryce Harper and those guys, you're going to get over on me either way. At least do it swinging if you're Bryce and the players rather than just letting them do it.
But like I told...
Like, I don't think there's any good faith here or whatever. Like, the owners are going to try and make sure they keep any less penny they can. Any penny they can or whatever. They're going to implement salary cap where it's like, oh yeah, no, rather than benefiting the other teams, like, we're going to benefit the A's, the White Sox, the teams that just don't do anything.
Like I told Kyle and James, though, I do think, and once again, there's a stone cold element to what Bryce Harper said that I love, and the way he handled it, I love. And I'm just, there are a number of different things that I'm talking about right here. But Bryce Harper, because in that article, he also talks about how you come in here with this, they're talking about a salary cap. We're ready to sit out 162. Like, we're ready to do that. Yeah, Bryce Harper, you're ready to sit out 162. You make like $400 million that are guaranteed. You're good. Once again, Jacob Wilson. Jacob Wilson ready to sit out 162?
It's tough, but sometimes that's what you got to do in order to get what you want. Like, you're just going to, all right, we won't sit out so I can get this paycheck, but hey, owners, go ahead and do your thing.
That would be bad. That would be bad, but I would not advise. I would not advise.
I'm opposed to just letting the owners, though, get over, though.
You can say that. I agree with you. And that's when you negotiate. But I would advise the players, do not do that. Because, number one, their money is longer. Number two, there's too much of a discrepancy in the amount of money that's made. There is a long way between Bryce Harper and Jacob Wilson. Those guys aren't making no money. They still fresh off the bus, the AAA bus. They're not making no money. And then you're going to tell these guys, these young guys, to take off a year essentially for something that's going to happen anyway? Because if I'm Rob Manfred and I'm the owners, go ahead. Hey, you say you want to take off a whole year. I'll raise you that. Why don't you take off two? Go ahead. Take off 2 years. We'll see whose money lasts longer. Go ahead.
Whose money was longer in 95, though?
It wasn't the owners. And this ain't 95, though. This ain't 95.
I don't know. The way I see it, if you're a players union and all that, like, you got to – I don't get just laying over and letting the owners do what they want.
You don't have to lay over and let them go over, but you also don't have to make it contentious and disrespectful.
Isn't that what the owners are doing, though? You can completely flip down the owners, though. Like, why are you implementing a salary cap and just kind of, all right, this is what it is, when in reality that's not what's best here. You need a salary floor.
Because I do think they need a salary cap.
Like, I think that everything you're arguing against the players, you could be said about the owners.
I don't think the owners are right in this situation, but I also know who has the leverage. Whose money is longer, the owners or the players? Like, you just got to deal with the situation. Like, these guys are, they'll be fine. We had family businesses in 95. They're corporations now. They're cool. If they, and I bet you they've been gearing up for this a lot longer than the players have.
So what, you're just not going to have a baseball league if you're the owners then for however many years? No. And just lose your money that way?
Sure. I'll ask Bryce Harper. I'll ask Jacob Woods. You're not going to have a career? You gonna go to Korea? Is that what you gonna do?
Maybe. I need to. Maybe. Hey, there's money to be made if they're really serious. Like, Jacob Wilson can go make some money over there.
Maybe. And then even then, there's only so many people that can go over there in Korea and play. Now you just got guys that'll just never play. Period. Like, the whole Major League Baseball can't go over Korea and Japan.
I get it, but if you're the MLB players and you're fighting something, you have to just – I wouldn't be opposed to a strike if that's what it comes down to. Like, I'm opposed to just giving these owners what they want. Like, it's something like you have to fight for what you want at some point.
I understand that, but here's
the – that's just strikes, too. Like, sometimes – like, that's just the way strikes go. Like, the little guy is always going to get hurt, but sometimes a strike is necessary to get what you want. To find some middle ground. Like, we see it with these companies and stuff like that.
Here's the other thing I'll say about that, though, and I talked about this with Kyle and James. Major League, we talked about it the other day, how Major League Baseball is absolutely cooking right now. They are on fire. They are doing damn near outside of Rob Manfred and the A's and all this. They're doing everything right. The players are doing everything right. It is cooking. In this sports climate, when you just worked, we're talking about the last decade. It took you like a decade plus to almost get to this point if you were Major League Baseball. In the climate with the NFL, with the NBA, NFL adding more games, college football, all this other stuff, you can't be gone for a year or two.
Well, you're not going to catch those leagues either, though. Like, that's, like, it's the owners tell me, oh, yeah, well, like, the NFL, like, yeah, the NFL and the NBA are just going to be king. That's just the way it is.
No, you're not going to catch them, but you're, like, so you think that...
A strike hurts everyone, too. Like, it's going to hurt the owners.
But whose money's longer?
I get that, but if the league's gone for 2 years, you guys were talking about how it took MLB so long to recover, this, and that, like, that's going to hurt them as well.
Who's it going to hurt more?
The players will get paid when they're back.
Do you think... So, this is my point. You think that they can leave for a year. Major League Baseball can leave for a year, and the money going to be the same when they come back from everybody, from ticket sales, from baseball-related income, from TV networks, the money.
I'm not arguing the downsides of a strike. I'm arguing just letting the owners get over on you. If you feel a strike is necessary in order to get something or whatever, then yeah, I'm not opposed to that. But, like, a strike is going to hurt everyone. Sure, I acknowledge that it's going to hurt players and the owners have more money and all this stuff, but I don't agree with just letting the owners, hey, we're going to put a salary cap. Okay, good, no problem. We'll just, like, look what the NFL players did. Now they're just going to be dealing with that whole trash CBA for 10 years.
I agree with you, but you got to think about more than that. You're fighting for no salary cap. You're doing all this fighting. And hey, we're not going to let them just walk all over us.
Well, what if you go on strike and you end up with a salary floor, though? Like, that's why you go on strike.
You could.
Possibility the same way, the other way.
You got to read the room. I think the owners, I said this earlier.
If they go on strike and come out, if they go on strike and come out with a salary floor, is that a win? For the players?
It depends. So here's the thing. I'll just put it to you like this. Right now, if with everything that's going on, TV contracts, the way attendance is up, sales, all this other stuff, merchandise, let's just say that Major League Baseball is bringing in $2 billion this year. They're bringing up $2 billion. And with no stoppage, that could be climbing. When you fight for everything that you're fighting for, and the league shuts down and you lose all that momentum and you lose all that and you come back and now Major League Baseball is bringing in $1 billion a year. Did you just fight for damn near nothing? Because you just lost everything that you were kind of fighting for.
You can build it back up, though, no?
Bryce Harper not going to build it up. And that's
Bryce Harper's already got his money, though.
But he's not even going to be around. This was my point. I think there's an obligation for to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture for everybody. There's an obligation for Bryce Harper and these guys to take into account Reese Caraway. Because if you do damage to this league by not being around for a year or two, this money that you're fighting for, this generation behind you may not even be able to have that. If you're willing to take that risk and you think that's best, that's cool too.
Is this the same conversation, though, people have had with previous lockouts? If you go into a lockout this year, then, oh, it's going to be so bad. And now we're in 2025, though, and everything seems to be fine. Like, I feel like this is just part of the negotiation.
Well,
here.
Who's lost the season, though?
Yeah, the season gets lost, but eventually the league builds back up. Like, now we're back to a point where, like, the MLB's at its best than it's been or whatever. Like, they went on a strike in 95, and I'm sure there's people saying back then, ah, it's going to kill the league, this, and that. Now it's great. Like, the NFL, but, whenever, stuff like that, the NBA.
You know how long that, you know where we're at? It's 2025.
It's the price of doing business, don't know.
So everybody, this is my point.
Like, they will be, it didn't just get to this point since 95 either. Like, it's like it went through a little low in the mid-2010s or whatever, but like it hasn't always just been bad since 95. No, that's not my thing either.
But there was one thing that brought it back up, and that was a one-of-one situation, was McGuire and Sosa. That's what helped it. There's no McGuire and Sosa walking through that door because people don't care about baseball on that level anymore. The record, the home run chase was special. That number was special. Baseball doesn't have that to go off of anymore. That's one of the reasons why they were coming back. They were damn near.
When did McGuire and Sosa happen, though?
98.
Yeah. I'm sure you weren't, like, no one was predicting McGuire and Sosa, like, when the strike happened and stuff. Like, that stuff, like, it just happens naturally.
But the reason why McGuire and Sosa was so special is because people still cared about baseball on a certain level. Baseball was still damn near king at that point. You're not king no more. So to a certain degree, at that time, you could go away, you can come back, and people, there'll be something like a home run chase that, because it matters that much in the lexicon of sports here in America, you could build back off that. What are they going to build off of right now?
I mean, maybe you get an Ohtani types, like Aaron Judge types. I don't think if baseball comes back, it'd be dead or anything like that. Every other lockout and stuff, you'd be able to build it back up.
I don't think it'd be dead, but I would not advise them to take a year off. That would not be good. That would not be okay.
I'm not going to disagree. It wouldn't be good, but also if your player's like, if it comes to a compromise, then you got to do what you got
to
do.
I'll put it to you like this. Those guys who took, who didn't agree on something in 94-95, mind you, the home run chase helped out. They had that moment too. But those guys made decisions that these guys are just now making up for. It's damn near 30 years ago. It took an Ohtani and Judge damn near to just now make up for the damage that they did back then. And that's my whole point. Bryce Harper, you can talk about, ooh, yeah, we're willing to sit down a whole year. They've been on the back burner for years. They're just now getting out of that.
Well, I think it's just because I don't think – it's just the way things go. Like, there's the way – like the NFL took a lockout or whatever for a bit, right? And or the NBA or whatever. Like, they didn't – they're still the second biggest league or whatever. Like, they came back far.
Yeah, they didn't miss a whole season, though. And that's what – that I'm only bringing that up because Bryce Harper was like, we're ready to sit out 162.
Yeah, like that. That's also negotiating, though, too.
It is, and you've got to talk like that. I understand that, but I'm telling them, I would advise them, don't do that. Don't be willing to go all the way there. There should be a point, as a players association and as a group, where you say, we're not really going to take a whole year off. You have to realize, you like, to be honest with you, to be fair, the NFL, if they really wanted to play hardball like that, they could take a year off. They could take a year off. Those players can be like, we ain't doing that. We not playing. We off for a year. And they bounce back, and they're strong enough. They're in a strong enough place that when they come back, the league will be fine. It'll be good. I don't know if basketball could do that either, because there's other dynamics that play into that, and specifically, and I'll just say it, a racial dynamic, a racial component that go into, like, when you come back, people are just going to be on your side. I don't know if they'd necessarily have that from all consumers. So I don't know if the NBA could do that. I do not think Major League Baseball could do that. It's almost to a certain degree. It's almost like the same thing I talk about with the WNBA. I want them to get their paper, but, man, try to get this. You got a lot of momentum going on right now. Try to get this taken care of before you have to even consider taking a year off.
I feel like both of those leagues are in different positions, though. Like the WNBA, they're, I guess, impact is a little bit more newer. Mm-hmm. And MLB's been around, but I mean, if you're Bryce Harper, you say that stuff. In reality, maybe you sit out 81, just throwing a number out there, 81 for the sake of compromise. Like, yeah, nobody wants to sit out 162. I think they're all well aware of, like, the issues of what comes with that and all that, striking for a season, two seasons, and whatever. Nobody wants that. But you also don't want to sign a deal like these NFL players did.
No, you definitely don't want to do that. I think it's inevitable, though. I think you negotiate and do what you can. Here's the other thing. You talk about 95, and I said this earlier. For a long time, even up until this day, the Major League Baseball Players Association has been the strongest union, or one of the strongest unions in the country, in any profession. Like, they never get bullied. They never get punked. Ever, ever, ever. And I think Major League Baseball owners are looking to break them. They say that ends now. Once again, I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying I'm on their side. But I think that narrative of, like you said, 90, like you brought it up, 95, yeah, whose money was longer then? Who buckled then? That bodes even worse for these players, because they'll be like, yeah, that ain't never happening again. The owners, Rob Manfred, they'll tell Rob, we hired you to make sure that never happens again. They'll never talk about us like that again. And they ready. They'll be like I said, you want to sit out of here? How about two? How does three sound? We've been preparing our money for this. How does that sound? And that's the unfortunate situation of it. I wish that wasn't the case, but I think they're ready to break the hell out of that Major League Baseball Player Association.
Unfortunately. We'll see.
Yeah. Guess we didn't have Guru. He was supposed to pull up on us at 2:30, man. I never heard from my dog, man, but he's working hard. James Hamm, he definitely gonna pull up on us, man. We got him in about 15 minutes. It's ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC. We'll be right back, man. We're back here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. We were talking more about what was going on with Rob Manfred and Bryce Harper. And Steven in the chatty house says, these imaginary scenarios lead to KC throwing fake hands all the time. Hey, I'm not trying to fight. I didn't even say I was fighting nobody.
You did say during the break you were going to F them up.
Their pockets, their money.
Yeah, their pockets. Yeah, contacts. We'll say contacts.
I don't need to fight nobody. If I'm Rob Manfred, I don't need to fight
you. Yeah, you're 66, Rob. Go sit down.
Yeah, I would lose that fight.
Yeah.
If I was Rob Manfred, I don't need to fight you. I ain't going to fight those losing battles. I'm a battle you in a place where I can win. That's how we're doing it. That's how we're doing it. Okay, cool. I hope not. I also think that Rob Manfred and the owners are so out of pocket for the way they go about or the way they potentially are going about this whole CBA negotiation. I do think there needs to be a salary cap. I do think that's what should happen in Major League Baseball. I do think there should be a salary floor too, though.
I don't think
there should be a situation where a team is spending $54 million or $66 million and you're bringing in, you know, hundreds of million dollars as a franchise, or close to $1 billion. Like, that's not how it should be. So there should be a floor. I know James had said this wasn't the right metric, and I defer to him on this one, but this should be a floor like 125 and maybe a cap of 250 or something like that. Because I think that's a better way to run a league. It shouldn't be a hard cap like the NFL has, where all of a sudden Logan Webb is getting cut because they got to get under the cap. There is no type of grace period for that. I don't think there should be a second apron situation like what's in a new NBA CBA. Preferably for me, when you have salary caps, I think for either homegrown guys or if you want to go into the luxury tax, you should be able to do that. And there's only financial penalties to that. Not team penalties.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think there should, for me at least, I think it just needs a salary floor. Because I think you guys threw up the number like 150 or something like that for the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that'd be a bit above teams like the Brewers and the Cincinnati Reds, who I think are above 500 right now, still pretty competitive. Like, the Brewers, I think you said, one of the best teams in baseball right now.
Yeah.
So, like, that'd be keeping competitive. I don't love a salary cap because I think teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, that other sorry-ass team in New York, like, that stuff is good for baseball, I feel. Like, I feel like those teams where it's like they got all these superstars here and things like that, like, I think that's good. But also, like, you got a team like the Brewers who could still compete, I feel. I don't think the salary cap really takes the Dodgers completely out of there. Their salary floor will just bring the competitive nature up a little bit more. Balance, I guess you could say.
They can compete, but for how long? How long can Milwaukee sustain the players that they have? Like, they got a bunch.
It's a year-by-year thing. This year it's Milwaukee. Next year it'll be someone else. Like, the Dodgers will be around, but the Dodgers have been paying people for however long, and they got a World Series and a half to show for it.
But I also look at it like this. I like the strategy aspect of something like that. Like, yeah, the Dodgers can just do what they want because they got endless money. There's, like, as long as you have the richest people around you and you're willing to spend.
These guys are all rich.
Yeah, but they've got the group that just bought the Lakers. That's different money.
It's just the way it goes sometimes. Some teams are luckier than others.
Yeah, but I don't
because it's baseball too. Because we haven't seen the Dodgers win World Series after World Series. Like, baseball doesn't work that way where you can buy the best players and you're gonna just win every title. Like, it doesn't work. Like I said, like, the Brewers could knock them off this year or something like that. That's why I think a salary floor is better. Where you get more teams like the Brewers, where, like, at least they're competitive and stuff like that. Brewers are, I mean, more than competitive, but, like, you get what I'm saying. I don't think having no salary cap is affecting these other teams. It's the lack of salary floor. The Dodgers aren't winning it every year. The Yankees haven't won it since 2009. Shout out. Like, you need – it takes a lot more than just paying players. And yeah. I think if you got a salary floor, you'll see the competitive balance you want rather than a cap. I don't think a cap is really bringing that balance that you're talking about. It's bringing those top teams down, those money makers down, I feel.
And here's how I would deal with the cap. If the Dodgers or the Yankees still want to spend that, fine. But there's tax penalties to that. You can, like, this is what I say about the NBA, and it's just money tax penalties. I don't like you lose draft picks or you can't make trades, and like the way the second apron and all, like, that's goofy to me. I don't like that at all. But if I'm Joe Lacob, or if I'm Steve Ballmer, or if I'm whoever's owning the Dodgers, or whoever, Charles Johnson, who owns the Giants, like, there's a salary cap. But if I want to go past the salary cap and pay the luxury penalties, I should be able to do that.
What are we trying to accomplish with the salary cap?
I think it helps with competitive balance. I think the cap and the floor help with cap. Make sure people get paid. Make sure these players continue to get paid at a high level. But it also balances the floor for, like, there are certain things that just the Dodgers, because of where they at in the country, the Oakland A's can't compete with that. The Oakland A's can't have their own network that sustains their money.
See, yeah, no, but if they had a salary floor, they'd put competent players around Nick Kurtz, Jacob Wilson, and all those guys, where, yeah, you can compete and stuff. You got guys already. And it's not, like I said, like, I got asked that question, like, what are we trying to accomplish with out in the salary cap? Because it's like, you're not taking away like 10 titles from the Dodgers here. There's been enough variety and stuff where it's like, you have other teams winning, so I don't necessarily know what the cap is doing. It's not like there's this team that's just been dominating the MLB for a decade here.
So, understandable, and that's I agree with you. But if
it's like I said, a salary floor against teams like the A's, who have all these great young, like, potential players and all that. Like, you add some, James brings it up, they need 5 starting pitchers. You get the starting pitching you need. The A's are a playoff team.
But I agree. But you get down into a situation where Nick Kurtz is ultimately a free agent. Who's going to have a better chance of signing him? Even if the A's, let's just say Fisher's not a cheap ass and he wants to spend money and he's willing to spend money, who's going to have a better chance? The Dodgers or the A's?
The Dodgers, but that's the A's, like these owners have it, though, is my thing. If you want.
But they don't have it. There's levels. Like, these owners in the NBA have it. But who has more who has more money? Ballmer and Lacob, or Vivek?
But
if it got down to it, they can overspend more than Vivek and some of these other guys because they just have more money. And it doesn't necessarily always come down to that in the NBA because of the salary cap. In Major League Baseball, it literally comes to that. Like, Fisher's like, man, I'm about to pay. I'm gonna pay Nick Kurtz. I'm gonna pay him $300 million, and the Dodgers are like, we'll give you $800 million. Like, well, damn, I can't necessarily go to $800 million, or I could, but it wouldn't be a sound business decision. And the Dodgers, they can go to $800 million and not blink an eye.
All right, I guess where we go different here is, like, to me, that's sports. That's just the Dodgers got the better owner. Like, it's not just one Dodgers owner, like, as well. There's 10 other owners out there that could sign Nick. It's just tough that the A's got it. I don't know.
But he's okay, but there's only 10 that could sign him. It's a 32 team league. There are literally teams that are like,
we can't act like, too, like with the NBA, like the Utah Jazz don't have the same chances at signing a free agent that the Los Angeles Lakers or any other team would. Like, it doesn't work one size fits all for these teams.
No, they do. They do.
They do, but, like, also, like, no one's going to Utah. Like, that's what's hurting you.
That's not because an owner isn't willing to spend money or isn't able to spend the same amount of money. That's because nobody just wants to go to Utah. And that's a different conversation.
But, yeah, the way I see, like, even if these other teams had the money, it's like, I don't. Like, there's just certain teams, like, you can give them money, blah, blah, blah. Like, they can cry poor, we need the money, or the salary cap. Like, players aren't going to those teams. So you got to develop and draft. Like, that's just the way you got to do it.
Yeah, and you develop and draft, and then they leave because you can't pay them.
Yeah, that's the way it goes for NBA teams as well, where you got the salary cap or the tax penalties. Like, there's just some teams where, like, yeah, they can offer as much as this other team, but just players aren't ever going to go to that squad for whatever reason. So function, I guess, is to draft and develop rather than to sign big name free agents, rather like the Lakers can do or something like that.
I'll put it to you like this. OKC. If OKC was a Major League Baseball franchise, you think SGA.
The owner wanted to fork out the money.
Do you think if the A's are really the best example, those three guys are making top dollar. You mean to tell me he'd be able to keep all three of those guys if the Dodgers and the Yankees started wanting both of them?
No, but also because I can't cry poor for these billionaires. Like they can, maybe you can't afford all three, but when have they ever shown that? Yeah, we'll pay for one.
It's not about being poor. It's about people have more money than you and they can spend more.
The A's are tough though, cause they've never shown that effort. Like I can't cry for the A's cause they've always chosen to be at the bottom.
True. I'm not, I don't want to.
Those other teams as well. Like not just the A's, the White Sox or whatever, like there's owners. And I guess that's probably one of my biggest hangups with these MLB owners. Like, they actively choose to not spend money. Like, you can cry salary cap, not you, but just in general, cry salary cap this, but, like, they choose not to spend it. There's never been an instance where it's like, the A's really went for this player, and the Dodgers, like, that's never happened. The A's have just never tried. Those teams have never tried to do it.
I hear what you're saying. I look at that, though, as it almost comes, because it's not even... It can't happen. Like, I know what you're saying about they've never really tried.
Like, right? I can see it the other way. If like, like I said, like, oh, these players got lost because of whatever. But the A's, the White Sox, and insert teams, like, they'll trade these players so they can save their money and draft picks and all that stuff.
I agree. That absolutely does happen. But I'm just saying, when you're dealing with somebody, when it's big bank take little bank, like, whoever, my memory about the name of the owner. But the Dodgers owner is worth more and makes more money than John Fisher. It just does. So if it comes down to dollar for dollar situation, Fisher can't keep up. He just can't keep up with the guy. So the guy's like, look, I'll spend whatever it takes to get Nick Kurtz here with the Dodgers. Fisher can't say that. If there was a salary cap there, at least to my opinion, it would give the A's more of a fighting chance if they were willing to spend money to keep a lot of those.
This is net worth, so just bear with me here. Whatever I told you, the Dodgers owner only had a $3 billion more higher net worth than John Fisher.
$3 billion is a lot of money.
It is, but like for the sake of what we're talking,
$3 million.
Yeah, but what we're talking about here, like, is that much to where like John Fisher can't offer like these deals or whatever? We're still talking like, yeah, it's not $3 million, but we're also talking billions where John Fisher's got it.
He can offer big time money. But like I said, let's go Nick Kurtz. John Fisher, like, man, I can offer this guy, I can offer him $1 billion. I'm gonna offer Nick Kurtz $1 billion. And the guy with the Dodgers, like, I'm gonna offer you $1.5 billion. The guy for the Dodgers, like, how far you wanna go with this? Because I got money to blow. And Fisher, like, I don't really. The guy with the Dodgers can.
Then you lose that one, then. You just lose. That's just sports. That's the way it goes. It kind of goes like with my NBA thing, where it's just there's teams who are able to sign the free agents and whatever off. I know we're talking like the Dodgers can offer 1.5 and $1 billion for the A's and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's also this thing where sports where the luxurious teams are going to get their hand at the free agents and stuff like that. The other teams that have played by the same rules, it doesn't work that way for you. So you have to figure out other avenues. To me, the A's got to figure out a different avenue then, because just the Dodgers have a different way of doing business that works for them, and that way of business can't work for you. And I don't necessarily agree with making it equal for everybody, just like in baseball, because like I said, I don't see a difference of what a salary cap's going to do. If it's for competitive balance, bring up the floor. That way the A's can get those starting pitchers, and they'll be in the playoffs come playoff time or whatever, and they can draft the next Jacob Wilson and those guys.
So I agree with you 100% on the floor. Like, I'm with that 1,000%. But look at the team that does it that, or excuse me, look at the league that does it that way. And what do people always say about the NFL? Competitive balance. It can, any team can win. It doesn't matter your market.
You can do that in MLB, though. The Dodgers haven't been winning every World Series.
No, it's not about winning every World Series. It's about being competitive. Like, they're
I think the floor does that, though. I think the floor, you can do that with the floor without having to bring up the cap. I think you can do that with the floor. I think you can get that competitive balance there. Like, the free agent stuff is just, that's the game, to me at least.
But the league who does it a certain way, and like I said, I think they're a little too stringent on it.